Is doubt a good thing? Some say that doubt is equivalent to humility. That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We're currently in a series called Beyond Doubt, which is based on one of our discussion leaders' books called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation by Sean Lazar. I'm going to come back at the end of the program and tell you how to get your hands on a copy of that book and some others. But for now, let's go right to Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are in this series, we're about to finish it, based on my book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. In the book, I go through different errors that might lead you to lose your assurance or to prevent you from having assurance. In chapter 9, I talk about the error of uncertainty, and I ask the question, is doubt humble? I start off with a quote by Bill Maher, who's the TV interviewer, and he says...
Some people say Maher, I think.
Maher, I think that's probably the better way. Bill Maher. The only appropriate attitude for man, this is what he says, the only appropriate attitude for man to have about the big questions is not the arrogant certitude that is the hallmark of religion, but doubt. Doubt is humble. And see, a lot of Christians seem to feel the same way. They think it's maybe they shouldn't have assurance of salvation because doubting their salvation is more humble and somehow that is better.
Right, but where he's coming from is extreme postmodernity, the idea we're not sure of anything.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues he would have...
Except for the idea that doubt is humble.
Right.
He's
now
sure
that,
about that.
We're
he's
sure
certain
of.
About that.
That's a good point.
And that's really the heart of the contradiction.
I stand corrected. You're right.
That's the heart of the contradiction of all this stuff. But, anyways,
but see, right. I think a big part of his problem would be people who say, well, only Christians are going to get into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Only Christians have everlasting life. He believes, as all postmoderns do, or most postmoderns, in pluralism. In other words, always lead to God. If you're a good Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or a good atheist or a good agnostic or a good humanist, that's fine. Of course, he probably doesn't even believe in life after death.
No, I think he's an atheist. I'd say he's certain there is no God.
Oh, he's certain.
Yeah, he would say that's all nonsense.
Except we can't be sure of anything, so how can he be sure there's no God?
Right, exactly. So another contradiction,
okay.
Right? But not only atheists can say that, I have a quote from Philip Yancey, too. Philip Yancey, the famous author.
Really?
And he says, where there is certainty, there is no room for faith.
Now, that's crazy.
See, it's interesting because faith has been defined differently through the years.
So if you're certain that 2 plus 2 is 4, you don't believe it.
No, you know it. They would say you know that. Faith,
but you don't believe.
Faith is about what you don't have evidence for, but you believe anyways.
Okay, so
that's how some people define
faith.
If
you saw Jesus risen from the dead, and you're like Thomas, you touched his side, you touched his hands.
Yeah.
Then you don't believe he rose from the dead. You know it.
That's what they would say. That's how some people use faith versus knowledge.
Right.
And so faith is always uncertain. It's always based on a lack of evidence, and you just a leap of faith, according to them. And so that's not the way we would define faith.
Well, though. That's not the way the Bible does. I mean, when Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this?
Uh-huh.
He's not asking her, do you have a fair amount of confidence in this, but you got doubts? No.
Right.
Are you convinced this is true?
Right.
Or in Luke 16, when Abraham's talking to the rich man, he says, let him be persuaded by the writings of Moses and the prophets.
Right.
Well, persuasion is being convinced. So this whole idea, even if Yancey says it, it's still postmodern.
I mean, there's lots of different ways that people define faith versus knowledge through history. I think I wrote a blog about it. You can look it up online. Here's a basic question. Is doubt in the Bible a good thing? So these guys are saying doubt is a good thing, but biblically speaking, is doubt a good thing?
No. Doubt is always a bad thing.
In the chapter, I start off with Adam and Eve. I go to that story, and you'll remember that God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, said you can eat from all the trees of the garden except for one. Don't eat from this tree over here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
They could even eat from the tree of life, but don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then the serpent comes around. What does the serpent try to do?
He introduces doubt. He says, you won't really die.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. In fact, the reason God doesn't want you to eat from that tree is because God knows then you'd be like him.
Right. So the serpent starts off by saying, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Which is, that's not what God said.
Right.
He didn't say you can't eat from any tree. because that introduces doubt about God's goodness. He said, don't eat from this one tree. You can eat from every single other tree. Just don't eat from this one tree. But the serpent's there trying to introduce doubt into Eve's mind. She corrects the serpent. She says, well, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. And then the serpent tries to introduce another form of doubt, right? And then he says, no, that's not true. You will not die. And so he's lying.
Right.
And he's trying to introduce doubt into her mind. Do you think it would be humble for her to say, well, I really don't know if what God said is true or not? I doubt whether what he said is true.
No, that would,
is that a good thing?
That would be dishonoring God and
right.
not believing what God said.
Right.
It'd be like if you told your children something and they doubt you, how would that please you? I don't get it. I mean, it wouldn't please you.
No. So if God says, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die, and Adam and Eve said, well, maybe, maybe not. Is that a pious attitude?
Right. Well,
not at all.
Actually, Paul says in 1 Timothy that Eve was deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Satan actually deceived her into not only doubting that she would die if she ate of it, but evidently she was convinced she wouldn't die by eating of it.
Right.
Whatever the deception was, she was now confused.
Right.
And
right.
of course, that very day, she and Adam began the process of death, because that very day they became what we call mortal.
Mm-hmm.
They were now people who were going to die.
Right. I have a quote from Martin Luther. He takes the view that doubt is not honoring to God. Martin Luther says, what else are we doing by our unbelief or doubt than charging God with a lie when he gives his promise and confirms it with an oath? We are defying him to his face, as it were, and we are saying, Lord God, you are lying.
Yeah,
that's
so
what
is
doubt
that,
is.
How is that humble?
So doubting God isn't humble. It's prideful. It's saying that I know better than you, God, and I don't believe what you have to say.
Well, remember when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is related to the word for holy or set apart. And when we say hallowed be thy name, we're saying your name is set apart, and we should be thinking of some reason God's name is set apart.
Right.
And one reason is because God's very eternal nature is that he is true.
Yeah,
God
absolutely.
Cannot lie. So therefore, to attribute to God a lie is horrendous.
Right.
That's an impossibility. That would mean God is not God.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, to doubt what God says is not humility. It is rejecting who God is.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a quote from Jesus. He asked Peter once, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Matthew 14:31. Doesn't sound like doubt is a good thing there. You know,
no, that's when he's walking on the water, right?
Right? Yeah,
he takes
yeah.
his eyes off Christ.
Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? We're not supposed to doubt. That's not what God wants us to do. Nothing humble about that. Or James chapter 1, verse 6, he says, let him ask in faith. He's talking about praying for wisdom. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You will not get answers to prayer if you doubt. Doubt is not a humble thing.
If God were like the academics we have in most of our public universities and colleges today, then God would be pleased with doubt. But
right.
God isn't like them.
Right.
God stands for truth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, even the academics today, they're fine if you doubt a lot of things. But you can't doubt, for example, that there must be, what is it, 150 genders now?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't doubt that homosexuality is something which is God-given. You can't doubt that transgender is something which is God-given. Any of that would be offensive, right? You can't doubt anything that they say is obviously true.
Right. They have their own secular atheist doctrines.
And those doctrines are absolutes, though.
So you can't doubt consistently. You always have to be certain of something, even if it's just certain that you should doubt everything. So it's always self-contradictory. Well, I end the chapter with this story of, and you know this story, of J. Wilbur Chapman.
I love this story.
He met with D.L. Moody in Chicago, and he asked Mr. Moody, D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, after whom the school is named, Moody Bible Institute and the church.
And the magazine
and
all those
yeah.
things.
So he goes up to Mr. Moody and he says, Mr. Moody, I'm not sure whether I'm a Christian or not. And Moody turns him to John 5:24. In
right.
John 5:24 it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." And Moody says, "Do you believe it?" And Chapman says, "Yeah." And then Moody says, "Well, are you a Christian?" And Chapman says, "Well, sometimes I think I am, and sometimes I'm afraid I'm not." So he's still in doubting, right?
I know, and I love where Moody goes with this.
So Moody tells him to read the verse again, and he does. And he says, "Well, do you believe it?" And Chapman says, "Yes." And then Moody says, "Well, do you receive him?" And he says, "Yes." And then Moody asks, "Well, are you a Christian?" And as Chapman was about to express his doubts again, "Well, I'm not so sure," Moody turns on him. His eyes were flashing, Chapman says, and he says, "See here, whom are you doubting?" And then Chapman, it came to him in a flash. He understood. By doubting his salvation, he was actually doubting Jesus' promise that he was reading, that he was understanding. And so that he was doubting Jesus.
And at that moment, he stopped doubting.
Right.
At that moment, he believed. And at that moment, he was sure.
Right.
And he never lost it from everything I've read about Chapman after that.
Right.
Because he realized our assurance isn't about us. And so when you think about this issue of beyond doubt, how to be sure of your salvation, look to Jesus. He is absolutely dependable. When he says, "He who believes in me has everlasting life," John 6:47, you can take that to the bank. That's true, and it'll always be true, and you should never doubt that. If you look to yourself, you're going to have doubt. If you look at your works, you're going to have doubt. If you look at your feelings, you're going to have doubt. If you look to Jesus and his promise, you'll have no doubt, because the Lord Jesus Christ is dependable, and he proved his dependability at the cross of Calvary.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great, reassuring discussion about what doubt is and what it's not. Now, you might like to go deeper on this subject, and if you do, I highly suggest you get a copy of Sean's book. It's called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation, and it's by Sean Lazar. To get it, you can go to faithalone.org and click on the store. Or if you want to get there directly, you can go to faithalone.org/store. Either way, you can get a copy of this book. In addition to our bookstore, we've got all kinds of free resources available for you. For instance, we've got a great print full-color magazine that comes out 6 times a year. You can get a free subscription and it'll show up right in your mailbox. You might also want to get subscribed to our podcast. You can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, but you can also get it right there on faithalone.org as well. We've got free ebooks, blog posts, Bible study materials, even an in-depth theological journal. You might even like to know about some of our live events that we do around the country. You can find out information on when and where those are taking place right there on the site, faithalone.org. Maybe you'd like to reach out to Bob or Sean with a question or some feedback. That'd be great. I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we've got something of a treat for you, a program based on one of our popular blogs. Don't miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.